In the name of the Ancient of Days, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Our theme for tonight comes from verse 53, as Pastor mentioned at the outset of the service, just who do you think you are anyway? I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of John. We're looking tonight at John chapter 8. Who do you think you are anyway? That's the question asked of Jesus, and that's the question we ask for ourselves. Who are you? Who is he anyway? Tonight, as we celebrate the Trinity, Pastor mentioned that we use the Athanasian Creed. You may remember that it's one of three ecumenical creeds. The shortest of the creeds is one that we use very often. It's the Apostles' Creed. It was written about 100 AD. The reason that we have the creeds is they remind us what we believe. They remind us the teaching of the church, the teaching of Scripture. And often, the creeds were written by the church to be able to come against heresies, false teachings of the time. Around 100 AD is when John, the last of the apostles, died. And so the church believed it was important, since the apostles, who had learned from Jesus and walked with Jesus and carried the message of Jesus after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, it was important when the last of the apostles died to solidify what it was they taught and believed. They did so in the Apostles' Creed. Another 200 plus years later, the Nicene Creed was written in 325 AD. And then the Athanasian Creed was written around the year 900 AD. It was written and named after a man who had lived some 400 years earlier, a famous and important Christian, a saint called Athanasius. We have the Athanasian Creed, and we've confessed one part of it, a second part of it, and the third part of it we will following tonight's sermon. What I would encourage you to do is to look sometime later in the hymnal. Look in the hymnal and read carefully through the words of the Athanasian Creed. I mentioned to the children a moment ago how difficult it is for finite minds to grasp the infinite. What a puny God we would have if we as his creatures would be able to fully understand who he truly is. I think it's wonderfully amazing that we can't completely understand the idea of the Trinity. The idea of the apple as an illustration is one that helps us have at least a glimpse of who the Trinity is. In our text for tonight, Jesus gives another such glimpse. In John chapter 8, if you look earlier in the chapter, Jesus was in the temple courts. Verse 30, I think, reminds us of that. And back in verse 13, we're told that the Pharisees were also there listening to Jesus. So Jesus was speaking with those who were followers, believers, and those who were unbelievers. Those were his enemies. And as Jesus spoke to them in our text, in verses 48 and following, they said, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan? You're a foreigner? And aren't we right in saying you're nuts?" Well, they didn't say it that way exactly, but that you're demon-possessed. You're not thinking rightly or correctly. Aren't we right in saying that? And Jesus said, "No. What is right is that I have come to glorify my heavenly Father. You see, if I brought glory to myself, what kind of glory would that be? It would be self-serving, and you wouldn't believe or trust it anyway. I've come to give glory to my heavenly Father. My Father and I are one." Then they knew, then they really thought, this guy is nuts. He's comparing himself, he's equaling himself with the heavenly Father. Then this business about tasting death. Jesus said, if you obey my teaching, if you believe what it is that I've come to tell you, you will not see death. Now we know you're nuts, they thought and said to him. But you see, they didn't understand. He wasn't talking about physical death. He was talking about eternal death. If you believe, if you trust what I have come to do, who I am, the sacrifice I will give, when you trust in that, yes, you will see earthly death, but you will not see eternal death. Eternal life. Instead, you'll live with me forever. But they couldn't understand that. They couldn't unpack at all. And that's why they said to him, we know now that you are unstable. There's something wrong in who you are and what you've said. Earlier in John chapter 8, Jesus had talked with them and they had said to him, we are the children of Abraham. And following those verses, Jesus said, no, you're children of the devil because you don't listen to God. You don't listen to the teachings, what I'm bringing to you, and the message that God has sent me to give you. In our text for tonight, Jesus speaks about Abraham. Abraham, you claimed him to be your father. That same Abraham was looking forward to the coming of my day, Jesus said, and in fact, he saw it. They said, well, Abraham lived and died long ago. How can you say at your age that Abraham saw you? And this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Those words, I am, are specific words. They're important words. They're the same words that God spoke from the burning bush. Remember when Moses was at the burning bush in Mount Sinai, near Mount Sinai in the wilderness? When Moses talked with God, Moses said, if I go and go to the people as you want me to, when they say to me, who is it that sent you? What should I say? Who should I tell them sent me? And God said to Moses from the burning bush, I am. Those would be the same words some years later when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the people came against him, the scribes and Pharisees, the soldiers, the temple guards, and they were seeking Jesus in the garden. Remember? Jesus said, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. We've come to arrest him. And Jesus said those same simple words, I am. And when he said that, what the Bible tells us is they fell to the ground like dead men in the power, in the majesty of that name, I am. In our text for tonight, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And what's their reaction? They picked up stones to hurl. They were going to try to kill him because he claimed he was God. And mysteriously, miraculously, he hid himself from them and he was gone. What Jesus was doing in our text is giving us a glimpse of the Trinity, at least of himself as the second person of the Trinity. I mentioned it to the children a moment ago. What is the Trinity? Well, you know it's not a word in the Bible, but it's the theology and teaching of Scripture. The Trinity means that three are in one eternal essence, and that that one eternal essence is in three persons. Not three separate persons, but three persons who are distinct from one another, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, there was a period in the church when people got that wrong and they got it mixed up, thinking, well, maybe God is one and he appeared this way, and then sometime later he appeared in this form, and then sometime later he appeared in this other form. Well, that was one of the heresies of the early church and the reason for the writing of the Athanasian Creed. to help us better get a glimpse of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible is filled with examples of how God acted as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Very beginning of Scripture in Genesis, remember, the Spirit hovered over the face of the water. And as God was creating in Genesis, God said, "Let us make man in our image," plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Later on in Scripture, you remember when Jesus was baptized? He was driven by the Spirit out into the wilderness after his baptism, but in his baptism, he went down into the water, and as he was baptized by his cousin John, he came up out of the water, and the voice from heaven, the voice of his Father, spoke, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the dove, the Holy Spirit, came down on him in the form of a dove, and he was himself in the water, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, boys and girls who came up to the children's message, I told you I'd give you another example of the Trinity. And perhaps it's the best one that I can think of. It's not a great example because there's no perfect example of the Trinity in creation. But maybe adults, too, you can think of it this way. What is this? A glass of water. It's a glass of water. Water is H2O, and at room temperature, it's liquid form. What happens when you heat water up on the stove and you keep heating it? It becomes steam. It's still H2O. It's a different form. It appears in a different way. It's distinctly different from the liquid in the glass, but it's still H2O, isn't it? And what happens if we take that same water and we freeze it sometime? Maybe it's in the freezer at home, or maybe it's like this, out on a pond someplace in the middle of the winter. That same H2O becomes ice. They're distinct from one another. I know that if I put my hand in the steam, I get burned. I can drink the liquid, and I better not try to go swimming when the pond is frozen, should I? Or the swimming pool. They are distinct from one another, and yet their essence is the same. Perhaps that's a way to think of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the persons of the Trinity, each of these three persons, were involved intimately in your life and in mine. The Father is the creator of all things. Jesus came to be our Redeemer, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Jesus went to the cross. He took its suffering. He took its pain, its indignity, its shame. He took its misery for you and for me. He came to be our Redeemer, to buy us back from sin and death and the power of the devil, to give us the gift of eternal life. And God comes to us as the Sanctifier, as the Holy Spirit who brings us to Christian faith and keeps us in the faith and helps us to look more like Jesus each and every day. As we listen to His Word, as we obey His teaching, as He said to us in our text for tonight. So, who do you think you are, Jesus? Well, I know who He is, and so do you. He is our Redeemer, Jesus the Good Shepherd. He's the one who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. Who do you think you are? Well, you are one of the lambs for whom He lived and died and rose again. That lamb around His shoulders who He gathers safely to Himself. He knew who He was. He knew why He had come. He knew it was for you and me. And we are the sheep of His pasture. That's who we are. And tonight we celebrate something which is impossible for us to perfectly understand. We celebrate a God who is greater than we, greater than our ability to understand or reason but yet we believe in him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May God help you to celebrate the fact that you are one of his lambs, and that he is greater than we could possibly understand. He is so strong and so mighty. He is our Savior, our Lord, and our God. To him be praise and honor and thanks, now and forevermore. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.